everyone, and welcome back to Once Upon a Timing, your podcast all about the thin line between love and hate, being thrown into glass, poor Regina, and the conclusion, ... of the Evil Queen, Serum Queen, Regina storyline. Congratulations, Regina. All is healed and you're better forever.
Yeah, we're definitely not kind of trying to be like, maybe this is season 7. Maybe we're setting something up. Ooh, we don't know. Could it be? It's not, but could it be? Ooh.
Well, I'm Beth Elderkin. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Abby. Abby, how are you doing?
Beth, yesterday I was woken up by a thunderclap and lightning just filling up my whole room, and it was very scary, and like a thunderstorm happened. And then this morning, it was snowing a bunch, so I'm confused and my head hurts. So it's that time of year where it's literally anything outside at any given moment, and my sinuses can't possibly take it anymore. So I'm very excited to talk about this and focus my brain on some confusing, oddly charged moments in this episode. I love that Lana can initiate chemistry with herself.
I see what you're getting at. And yes, that will be a conversation to have as we talk about season 6, episode 14, page 23, which 23 is a Lost reference. So that's part
obviously.
Of it. Yeah. And this episode was written by David Goodman, Bridget Hales, and then it was directed by Kate Woods. And Lana Parrilla has gone on the record and said this is her favorite episode of the series.
Really?
I have to think that it has to do with the performance and what she was given to do, because I feel like, you know, as mid as this episode was overall, I think that the focus on her and this, and there aren't many actors who can have that much intensity acting with themselves.
I agree. And I mean, I get it. She had a lot to chew on in this episode. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're right. It's just out of the bag. It's a mid episode. I was having a hard time staying clocked in on it. Yeah. But on her scenes between the two of them, between herself twice, she was showing such a crazy amount of nuance to the character. Like with the hearts and all that other fun stuff. The lines were not always the best, but she did very well. I could see that. I could see this being like one of those like actor fun, like it's fun for me. The actor may not be as fun for everybody else, but I was having a good time.
Yeah. It was one where she definitely got to stretch her wings, and it was an episode where she always looked like she was perpetually crying or about to cry. Like, she had permanent wet eyes. And, like, that's an impressive feat for an actor, to just constantly be able to emote the verge of tears.
That sounds exhausting. It feels like something you need to be very well hydrated for. Mm-hmm. I do love when they talk about, like, actors and actresses who can just cue that stuff. Like, famously, apparently, Demi Moore can just, you know, she'll just say, which eye do you want me to cry out of? She can just pick one. And, like, I think recently I heard that, like, Margot Robbie can also do something similar where she can just summon them. Like, just big alligator tears just out of nowhere. Like, that's a skill. I'll give it to them.
All right. Well, we are going to start in the present day. And we are back with the Evil Queen and Robin. And they are, this is following her whole snake bite thing in the last episode that totally made a lot of sense. So let's just accept it as reality.
It makes so much sense that we're just not going to ever mention it again because of how much sense it made. We never need to really discuss it anymore.
Nope. And she asks Robin to help her with a very important task that's going to accomplish all of their dreams. Robin just wants to go to New York
or somewhere else. He just wants to GTFO, and she's like, I'll do you one better. I'll send you back to where you came from, whence you came. You'll lose toilets and running water. But hey, you get taverns back, and you can rob people all the time. So, you know, give or take.
I appreciate Robin's characterization of no matter how long he stays here, he just doesn't like it and just genuinely wants to go back. Like, nothing thwarted him. Like, he was never like, oh my gosh, the magic picture box showing me fun things. No, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about phones. He doesn't want to sleep. He just wants to go back to sleeping on hay on dirt.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
There's a layer in between.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
It's different. Like, you can sleep in dirt. Bad. Gross. Something that you shouldn't be doing. I sleep on hay on dirt. Classy. Sophisticated. Roguish, even.
Ooh, I mean, he is a rogue. He's very...
He's a rogue.
A brogue rogue.
Ooh. Ooh.
So while they are in the middle of a graveyard digging up something that will come into play later, we've got Zelina and Regina heading over to visit Emma and Snow to let them know the bad news that the queen has escaped and she's probably still a snake, but maybe not. We don't know. We also know that she's not a snake anymore. But we got to put all that on hold because somebody's got an engagement ring. Oh my God, girl.
Okay, the evil queen is loose. Oh my God. Oh, what is that on your hand? Stop. Show. I want to know every little detail. I do love Emma eating crow just a tad bit of being like, oh my God, how'd he do it? Tell us everything. I came down the stairs and made him propose. I ruined his surprise. So I actually have no clue what he did. I'm sorry. We'll get a better story later, I think. We're going to do something different. Definitely planned. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. I'm going to give him the ring back later. So we can redo it.
Yeah, like, I'm going to give it back to him, like, normally. Like, I'm just going to be like, here, yeah. I'm going to let you do it. It's not going to be dramatic. No. And we're not going to fight immediately. I'm going to give it back. It's fine. Don't overthink it.
So I did appreciate how this scene happened. I loved that it was Zelina who saw the ring and, like, just derailed the conversation. I loved Emma's, like, almost bashfulness, but still enjoying it to, like, she did the thing with her hand. I'm gonna show it. It's hard to describe where you, like, turn the hand around and you show the ring.
It's such a
hand.
Yeah,
it's such a thing.
It's okay. So I'm putting my cup down so I can show you while I describe it. But it is just such an unnatural mode. There's no need you ever need to show somebody the top part of your hand.
Yeah.
The only other time you're doing this is trying to convince the bartender that you don't have a big X on your hand and you're definitely 21. Like, no, I'm fine. Like, you can see it, like, whatever. But, like, you only ever do that with your ring, like, oh my God. Or the only other more natural is when you hold it out. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to accept a princess-like handshake, but you're like, look. But you can't do that with a ring that, listen, Hook's a good guy, and I'm sure he tried. But I'm going to guess the ring is a little oversized, because if you don't know your partner's ring size, it's a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going on. But also, it's got a really big rock on it. So if she presents her hand like she's daintily going for a handshake, the ring will simply fall off. It will just slide all the way off due to gravity because she has an ice rink on her hand. Because good for him. Yeah, they have the little conversation about, girl, you got married. And I love Snow being like, I knew it. I knew it the whole time. Girl, he's your... Like, she's like, I didn't think this would happen to me. I did. I called it the whole time.
And also Snow is talking about, like, immediately planning the wedding. She wants Princess Emma wedding all day, all night. And Emma says, well, no, latest crisis of the week.
No.
I kind of wanted Snow's response to be, there's always a crisis of the week. Don't let that stop you. Once Gideon's gone, there's going to be another one.
Listen, you always are planning a wedding during a crisis. No matter what you try to do, something's always happening while you're planning your wedding. And sometimes it's because of your wedding, which is a fun surprise that your wedding creates a crisis you have to plan around. But I would have loved to seen this, like, evil, weird mom version of Snow that was just like suddenly pulling mood boards out of nowhere. Like, I've got it all planned. Here's all the things. She's got all of her birds in the back embroidering things. She's like, I'm going to need a date. The songbirds need a date. They cannot finish these tapestries if they don't have dates. Emma, what are you even doing? You've been engaged for 15 minutes and you can't give me dates, venues, and your menu yet? What are we doing?
Measurements.
Yeah, measurements. We have to go get you in a dress and make you fit. Do you have any idea how long it takes for the birds to make you your dress? It's going to take them a while. They're very small and tiny.
And they also have to burst into song every like 10 minutes. So we have to account for that. It's their break time.
They are currently binging Say Yes to the Dress in the other room to make sure that they're keeping up with the latest fashions, but also in a way to make it still fairy tale. Because if anyone's going to figure out, that's Kleinfeld's for a reasonable price of $10,000. I know your budget's only $2,000. Why are you here?
Oh my goodness. All right. So wedding is being pushed aside because there's too much going on. Gideon's around. He's up to no good. Well, really, he's up to nothing until the last 2 minutes of the episode.
Is he up to no good, or is he perhaps down, submerged down, to no good?
Down periscope.
He's down periscope to no good. Dive.
Well, so they all they're doing is just talking about the evil queen is out. Oh no. What is she planning? What's going on? Well, what she's got going on is she uses Robin for funsies to help dig up the shears. She could have done it herself, and Robin points this out. But Regina's just like, eh. But then I wouldn't get to look at your fine form digging.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, like I could have done magic, but doing it this way means I get to watch your form, and it's fantastic. I will say that I was having a very, like, distracted time watching this episode, so I was just, like, shouting TikTok sounds the whole time I was watching this. So while he was digging, I was just like, I'm tired of this, Grandpa! I'll keep digging! Yeah, he has to dig up some shears.
The shears are back. It makes sense.
Yeah.
The Evil Queen had them. She hid them in a berry area. That makes sense. But before she can do the thing she set out to do, she has one thing she has to accomplish first. And that is to go intimidate her son, who was apparently going to rewrite her story with the magic author pen that I thought was destroyed. But who knows? I think he probably got a new one at some point, and somebody's going to correct me for this. I just legit can't remember what happened with this stupid pen, because it hasn't been mentioned in a whole season.
Listen, I'm with you. They keep kind of bringing it up. I think it's one of those, like, he broke the ceremonial one, but I think if he just believes in himself, he can do anything. With the power of the author, he is forever strong.
He can make any pen glow with the power of authorial might.
He accidentally loses focus while he's writing fan fiction and starts writing some sort of awful universe. He's like, oh no, oh no, 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 oh, I shouldn't have been doing this. This was for fun, not for work. Oh no.
And then my two moms kiss.
I love the idea that he accidentally then transfers it into the internet. Like, we get some sort of, like, he focuses that power, and then suddenly the only way that the author can function is with a computer. And now the author needs to be skilled at using Microsoft Word and Photoshop to make all the cool pictures.
What are you talking about? The cool pictures are Photoshop.
Yeah, but they have to be done in a proper way. I feel like the fairy tale book would get super mad about AI art. So, like, you have to really be making it.
Yes, that is. I can see that. Although, if it happened nowadays, it would probably be AI art.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And, like, the author is actually just, like,
ChatGPT.
And it just doesn't make sense in the middle. And all the pictures of Snow White, she's got, like, four fingers, but seven on this hand. And her foot. She's got an extra foot for some reason in a couple of the shots.
Well, so Evil Queen, Serum Queen, heads to Henry to stop him from using the pen. She just tucks it away. She doesn't break it. She just tucks it away in her sleeve. and says, I can't have you stopping my big plan. And Henry says, I was only trying to help you find a path to redemption, which is the theme of the episode. The theme is self-love and how we all can be redeemed if we believe, which is a good moral message. You know, it doesn't quite gel with our very black and white view of good and evil in this show. Like, the nuanced takes that the show has about, you know, good and evil and the blurred lines, they kind of end up contradicting the show itself, because the show takes that very black and white approach usually.
Yeah, there's no nuance. There's just a big baseball bat. Like, there's no... And yeah, and a lot of it's all very, like, again, I invoked AI, but now it kind of just sounds like if you fed Once Upon a Time into an AI, this is, like, the lines that they would spit out. Mm-hmm. Specifically Henry's lines. No, Mom, you can be redeemed. There's love in you. I believe it. He doesn't call her Mom in this scene, but he's just like, you can do it. And, like, I believe. And there's this whole conversation that then gets missed towards the end about the fact that, like, she's different now. They don't talk about that. They don't. Regina never mentions the change, which is interesting. But this is all one big therapy session, I think, for Regina.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of learning and a lot of reflecting.
Some people will just, you know, take a magic serum to separate their evil part from themselves instead of going to therapy.
We'll do anything except go to therapy, including chemically separating myself from my other half and then trying to hunt them down and kill them.
Well, Evil Queen has a plan. She wants to exist, and she doesn't want Regina to exist anymore. And so what she wants to do is to use the shears to cut herself off from her destiny, from her fate, which in the terms of this episode means that they can separate the two halves, which... I don't have a problem with this as a concept. What I do have a problem with is nobody addressing this before. And also when the Evil Queen brings it up, it's just like very matter-of-factly. It's not like she's discovering something new about the shears. Like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't the Evil Queen have done this a long time ago? Like, or why wouldn't Regina have thought about it?
So I'm wondering if just, like, all that time as a snake, like, the Evil Queen got to, like, really sit with her thoughts.
Mm.
And then she's like, you know what? If that thing can cut me from destiny, I bet it would cut me apart of Regina. If I ever get miraculously turned into a person again, I am going to get someone to dig me a hole and find those shears. Yeah, that's her plan. Her plan is to separate herself from Regina, which I guess... Again, like I said, I think if you sit with it long enough, you can walk yourself there where you're like, okay, well, how do you cut yourself off from destiny? Okay, well, her destiny is tied to Regina's destiny because they are two sides of the same coin. So if she cuts herself off from her destiny, she's removing herself from Regina. So I guess we can walk there, but I guess I don't know if that, like, the scissors would take that walk with you.
No.
Like, technically, like, I'm just imagining her arguing with a pair of ancient shears. No, no, this is what, it doesn't say anywhere that dogs can't play basketball shears. It's not in the rule book.
We'll just assume that it's logical and it makes sense. And it's totally fine.
It's better that way for all of us.
Evil Queen draws Regina in for a final confrontation by using Robin as bait. And he doesn't really appreciate it very much, but he also kind of takes it in stride. This Robin just... You know, he has a good time.
He's just
it doesn't matter. He vibes.
I think he's at the part where he's just like, there's nothing I can do. Like, there is no point in which he has had the upper hand in any situation. He doesn't understand magic, specifically magic ropes. He doesn't understand the world he's living in. He has been dropped into a country in which he does not speak the language, basically. And so he's just like, you know what? I'm just going to move around until I can find an exit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's... That's all I'm going to do. And he's just like, you're an idiot for coming here. Why did you come here? And she's like, I'm sorry. I am a hero. And I have to come save you. And he's like, you're an idiot. And you're about to be killed. So.
And this is when my favorite moment in the episode happens. It's such a small moment, but it made me crack up. You see Evil Queen, Serum Queen, like pop into, she smoke appears and is like, I'm here. It's a trap. I'm going to get you. And then she just moves the office chair and it just rolls away. It was the funniest little thing. It was just like, I'm here.
Creak. Yeah. She was not prepared for the setting of the office in any way. She didn't stage it correctly. It wasn't. She was like, I have to keep it here. So she doesn't, not the wiser. God, that'd be an entrance I would make, but like not hilariously. Like it would just be like, I am here. Oh, hold on. Oh, I got to move some stuff. I am here.
Damn it.
Damn it. Where? Why is this here? It wasn't here before. I've been practicing for hours.
And what happens is an epic battle of the ages. Robin is whisked away back to the land from whence he came. Evil Queen has fulfilled her promise. And she also fulfills her promise to cut herself off from Regina so she can destroy her once and for all. They use the word destroy because I guess they don't want to use the word kill. It is interesting that they don't use the word kill. They're very selective with that one.
Yeah, it makes me laugh. It did make me think of, I had the same thought because they said destroy a lot. It made me think of, oh, stay with me here, Fortnite. Sorry, I have a 7-year-old who makes me play all the time. It's not being killed in Fortnite. You're eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
You're not killed. You're eliminated. But yeah, this was definitely one of those, well, we're not going to say kill because we can't kill her. That sounds aggressive and not very PG of us. So we will say destroy. Yeah, that's much better. It's much less dark and violent.
It's like when like Disney or Nickelodeon shows would like their little kid superhero shows be like, take them out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take you out.
I will like, take what? You out. Your dinner? Days are done. For what? What's going to happen? I'm going to end you. How? What? Am I going to go somewhere? Like,
are you sending him on vacation? Like, I'll
yeah,
take
like,
a
oh, oh, are we not supposed to be here? Like, do we not have permits? Do I have to go? Am I supposed to be leaving? I can leave. What are you talking about?
And after they have been separated, they both magic swords into their hands.
Why? Why swords?
I don't flippin' know. Because they have fireballs.
They pulled out swords and I was so confused. I was like,
I was so freaking confused. Okay. Let's end this with the thing we never do, which is sword fight.
I mean, they might as well have just drawn guns and done a Hamilton like duel or something. Like, mm-hmm. It was so strange.
It was very strange. And they battle. The Regina gets thrown into a wall. She's got to have a concussion about this time, but all the time she's been thrown into walls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
But eventually she does get the better of the Serum Queen and manages to bind her in vines from her wall and is getting ready to end her after ripping out her dark, dark black heart when then she suddenly has a change of heart. And Abby, why don't we travel back to a time that might have inspired this moment of reflection?
I've never watched something so projected happen, take so long to get there. Like the moment they start setting up what's about to happen, I was just like, just get there faster. We all know what's about to happen. Okay, so Regina, in an absolutely fire outfit, is showing up. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I agree. That coat was amazing, and it fit her so good. It almost made up for the fact that she definitely had a cold in this filming.
I always feel bad when I'm... Okay, just pause. I think it's funny when you watch older shows and you can tell when people are sick.
Mm-hmm.
You can notice it a lot when you're watching like sitcoms and stuff like that. Like you'll just see like one character's like voice is suddenly lower or more nasally. I feel like that is such a pre-COVID thing now. Mm-hmm. I feel like you don't see that anymore.
No.
I think the only time that at this point we've known anybody's been sick is because afterwards, what's her name? Jenna Ortega, which is like, hey, I was super sick. You know that cool dance I did? I was so sick with COVID. And everyone's like, whoa, hey, why were you in a crowded, humid room with COVID? And everyone got real mad. So, as they should have. And so, anyway, Regina, in her fire outfit, gets out of her cab or gets out of her carriage. She's like, I'm here. I'm going to kill Snow White. She goes into the thing. She comes back out. She's not here. I'm going to kill this guy next to me. And she starts like, hey, villagers, tell me where Snow White is. And they're like, no, we're not. She's like, I know some of you know. Someone's going to need to tell me. Or I'm going to start just absolutely ending every one of you. And then out of absolutely nowhere.
This was the most rando cameo.
From out of left field and clearly in no way on the same set as the rest of them.
Oh, no way.
Here comes Tinkerbell. And I got excited for a different reason, but that is also because I'm currently watching Ghosts. And this actress who was in also an iZombie, but she is also in Ghosts. Guys, Ghosts is delightful. I very much enjoy it. So she shows up. She's like, no, you can't trust her because she is a big fat phony. I tried to show her true love and she didn't like it. And that makes her a monster because she didn't want to take the fast pass to her true love. I have such large and complicated words about how this is handled.
I didn't like Tinkerbell's whole dialogue, and I felt like she was kind of in the wrong, but not for the wrong reasons. Like, it's hard to explain. I didn't like her reasons, like her explanation, and I didn't, you know, because like maybe Regina wasn't in the mood for a guy at the time. Why does like a man isn't going to solve all your problems, Tinkerbell?
So, and I think we talked about it when this episode came, like the original episode of her going to the bar of, but like, she's like, no, I found your true love. This is your soulmate. Okay, listen, I cannot meet my soulmate in any other time in which is the proper time. Because had my husband and I met several years earlier, never would have worked. We were different people. Like, we were a lot younger, obviously. Like, we met when I was, like, 21. Well, we were both 21. But, like, you know, you meet when you're, like, just shithead teenagers. And you're just like, I don't like you. You don't like me. We were just different people. Like, I don't think it would. Like, we would have jived. It would have just been two people that you knew. But we met in such interesting circumstances. And we were at just the right moment in our lives where it worked then. You cannot fast pass this.
No,
I couldn't like know, oh, by the way, this is your soulmate. Here he is. Go find him earlier in life. This is not how it works. And that's what I'm mad about with this, because they talk about it here because Tinkerbell's mad about it. She's like, no, I gave you that. And then you walked away because you're selfish and awful and terrible. And then they later talk about it where they're like, yeah, this wasn't my happy ending soulmate or whatever. It was just something else. I'm like, no, it still was. You met in the time in which you were supposed to meet. Like,
yeah,
it's still what it is. So that was my biggest bone to pick, where it's just like, you guys don't have to end up together forever for you to still be soulmates. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was still the thing. Tinkerbell was still right. She just tried to force the situation. I will stop talking about it. So they were like, yeah. So now the Evil Queen is extra super mad, because what a weird thing to happen. You're trying to exert your authority and some crazy lady in a green cloak and a top knot just wrecks your whole thing. Just some hippie in a field.
Especially because she was trying to convince the villagers to help her find Snow White because she's the queen. She loves the people. She cares about the people. Snow doesn't give a shit about them. She's just using them. She was trying to, like, she wants them to be devoted to her. She wants them to worship her and to love her.
Yeah.
Because she needs that love. And that's kind of where Tinkerbell's coming from, is saying, you know, no, she doesn't really want love, because there's this one time where I showed her a guy and she didn't want to go out with him.
He had a tattoo and everything.
Yeah, he had a tattoo. And so anyway, please continue.
Okay,
with our gales.
No, yeah, so Regina goes back to her castle. She's mad. Mm-hmm. She throws up. And then her dad is there. Yay! And he's like, listen, honey, this isn't... Maybe we're doing the wrong thing. Maybe these are bad things. And she's like, no, daddy. Every time I just go, eh. But she's like, daddy, no. It's like the absolute opposite of daddy, I love him. It's like, no, daddy, I hate her. She has to die. She simply must not exist anymore. So then this weird, this absolutely tooth-pulling setup of, honey, I have magic from your mom's book. We're going to go to a place. It's going to be great. It's going to be the thing that you want. And she's like, amazing. I trust everything about this. And then they end up in a field with a big magic door of rainbows. I don't understand what that was.
No, I don't either.
It was very strange and weird. And she's like, wait a minute. This reeks with light magic. You couldn't have found that in Cora's book. And he's like, you're right. Tinkerbell came to me. Where is that scene? I want that scene of Tinkerbell being like holding Henry's shoulders, shaking him, and just be like, you must know the truth. I showed her an attractive man. You could have grandchildren by now, but she said no. And they have this whole conversation about how she had lost her first love, and she was upset and blah blah blah. And he's like, haha, uno reverse. I talked to Tinkerbell. She led me here to Cupid's arrow. Don't be silly. It's not a love potion. I know those don't work. It will just lead you to your true love. My guy, Tinkerbell, she knows who her true love is. We saw him at the bar. We don't need the arrow. The arrow is just going to kill him? I don't know how this works. Explain.
I had a different problem with it. So I felt it was kind of fortuitous that her dad was in this episode, because all the way back in episode 2 of season 1, titled The Thing You Love Most, she had to kill the person, she had to kill the thing she loved most, and it was her father. The Cupid's arrow spell was to guide you to the person you love the most. So why wouldn't it have just gone to her father?
So I think I get that. I had the same thought, but then the rest of the thought was, you know, they specifically call it Cupid's arrow. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Cupid scenario, it is a romantic love.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's more, but you're right that the wording of it doesn't sound correct, where it should be not even who you love the most, because what would be more of a bummer than an arrow going to the grave of your dead boyfriend? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew that arrow. Thanks so much. having a great day. Glad I tracked it here. So this whole weird scene. And then so he's like, yeah. And then he just stands there because she's like, aha, I know. I'm going to hack into the mainframe. I'm going to use this to my advantage. So she starts like screwing with the arrow, and the whole time he just stands there. I love this. I don't know what kind of dad your dad is, Beth. My dad would have been pacing that whole forest. Not that we would have been there, but my dad would have just been pacing around, madder than hell. But he's not going to leave me. But he's just going to walk away far enough to just be doing that repeating thing that my dad does a lot when he gets mad, where he just like repeats the same word a lot, where he'd just be like walking around, just unbelievable, like he would just be gone.
No, my dad would be watching very carefully.
No,
just waiting for the opportunity to step in and what needs to be fixed. He will fix it. That's what my dad would do. My dad would be watching.
See, so in the scenario in which my dad is opposing what I'm doing, he would not be going far, but he would still be around and voicing his displeasure. The reality of the situation is, A, we wouldn't be there, but also he'd be like, you know what? Girl, go. Like, do it. Like, he'd be like, I support you in this decision. I don't think it's going to go great for you, but do you need me to hold something? Like, I'll hold the flashlight for you. Like, I'll stand there. Like, I know some things. I just love that he just stood there quietly being like, what are we doing? What's happening? Oh.
Well, she turns the arrow instead into a it's a black tipped arrow.
Ooh.
I also love that it's all about arrows because Robin. It's got to be arrows.
Oh, it's got to be. It's very fortuitous. And so she's like, I will now hold this bow awkwardly in my Katniss Everdeen moment. And I'm going to fire it, and it is going to lead me to the person I hate the most.
Wait, but is it a romantic hate? Because if it's a romantic love?
She says, she's like, Daddy, between the line between love and hate is so thin. And I'm just like, so you love her? If circumstances were different, you would love her?
You would hit that?
I mean, listen. So she's like, I'm going to fire this arrow and it's going to take me to the person I hate the most. And I think everybody in the known universe
mm-hmm.
knew what was coming. She tracks it to her castle. It lands in her closet door.
Well, she first thinks that this is like, oh, Snow must be stealing from me I'm out of the house.
She knows I'm gone. I love how psychotic. Like, she's like those like Facebook moms that are sure everyone's out to kill them all the time. She's just like, you'll never believe what happened to me today at Target. Someone asked me for directions, and I'm pretty sure it was a serial killer.
I'm pretty sure they were trying to human traffic me or my kid or both.
I found a leaf on my the front of my Nissan Rogue, and I'm pretty sure I'm being human trafficked all the time, constantly. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. So she was just like, finally, I will go die. She just tracks this thing down to her
wardrobe.
It's not like a wardrobe, thank you. And she's like, aha, she's hiding in here. Just absolutely lost her mind. Opens it up. Starts digging around. Hey, honey, if there was a full person in there, I don't think you would have needed to dig much.
Yeah.
Just, I don't think there would have been a lot of hiding spaces.
It's not Narnia in there.
No. Wouldn't it have been funny if it was, though? Just a whole different thing just starts. And she's just like, oh, no. It hit the mirror. Beth, hold on to your socks, because they're about to be absolutely blown off.
Okay, I'm gonna keep them stuck on the ground.
Yeah,
so
just
don't want them to.
The person that she hates the most is herself.
Oh, and there go my socks.
Oh my god, they've blown into the crust of the earth. They are just deep.
They've created a hole in the ozone. I apologize, everyone. We've got about 5 minutes left to live.
Well, if that's the case, let's make sure we then talk about how Regina changed her mind based on looking in the mirror in nothing but self-loathing. Cut to present day, where Regina looks into the mirror again.
Yes, she does. And she sees the reflection. Who is that girl I see? I see her here and there. I see her in multiple places.
There's glass everywhere. Someone get a broom. No one move. Is anyone in socks? Have they not been blown off? Because we all need to be in shoes. There's glass everywhere.
And Regina has a moment of reflection. Pun intended. Where she realizes, no, she's not going to destroy the evil half of herself. But instead of merging the two together, she's instead going to create this new life and give it a space of its own. She takes out her own heart, which is full of light and goodness, And then she does like a Vulcan mind meld with them.
She airdrops some of her goodness.
Yeah, she airdrops.
Do you not have your Bluetooth on? Because I need your Bluetooth on to give you some of my love,
my happiness, and
my
love
and happiness. Yeah. If you could just turn it on for like 10 minutes, we'll just drop this in there. Thank you.
So essentially, now there are two full Reginas, because now it seems like they each should only have half of a heart. But as we've seen with Charming and Snow, that doesn't matter either. So they're full people. It's all good. And the two of them have a heart to heart.
I would like to posit the theory that in Once Upon a Time, their hearts grow like livers. So if you just take parts of them, they eventually turn into full hearts.
Mm, okay, I can see that. It rounds out eventually.
Yeah.
The Evil Queen doesn't quite know what to do with all these new feelings that she has. How is she supposed to cope with all this good stuff? All these sappy feelings. It sucks and she hates it. But also, maybe she doesn't. And the two part, well, as friends, as sisters, as like-minded souls. And they enlist Henry's help to send the Evil Queen somewhere where she can get a fresh start. And by doing so, Henry just literally writes that. And then no one knows where she went.
So, like I said, I just kept singing. I just had, like, random clips and TikTok sounds and whatever was just coming to my head while I was doing that. Every time they were like, I wonder where Robin went. I wonder where the Evil Queen went. I just kept having Alicia Keys' New York. In New York. I wish that's where they would have gone. It would have been so much funnier. Both of them in no way equipped for modern world with no bank accounts or forms of identification. And just the clothes on their back, just being transported to New York to have their happy ending. Like, God, that'd have been funny. So,
well, instead, the Evil Queen has been transported into what I assume is the Wish Realm, unless it's like Wish Realm. Because this one, no one recognized her.
I don't understand this. Like, she wants a fresh start. You can't have a fresh start in a world in which you were dead at some, like, you were there and died.
Well, you were there, you presumably died, then you came back, and you murdered Snow and Charming in front of Henry, who is now the king.
And is mad and wants to kill you. Like,
exactly.
I feel like this is not the adventure you thought it was. That whole scene, though, that where, like, Zelina's just, like, there, and so is Snow, and they're like, what do you mean? I don't understand. Isn't she going to come back and kill all of us? And, like, Regina never quite explains that it's not the same Evil Queen. Like, she's like, no, she's just trying to trick you. You're an idiot. Like, the whole time, they're just like, Regina, you're dumb. You're so dumb, and this plan is dumb. And she's like, well, that's what it is. And then Henry calls the Evil Queen Mom.
Oh.
And she has a big, big emotion.
She does. For
the she's just, I think she would have had the same big emotion if she were the Evil Queen without the little bit of love. But again, like we talked about before, you can tell that Lana is absolutely eating this episode. And she shows a love for what is happening and appreciation, but also, like, you can see it in her face in a way that the Evil Queen would not have emoted earlier episodes.
Yeah, because there was almost a confusion, because there was emotions in there that it almost felt like she didn't understand that what was happening, but she also knew that it meant something important. And it's a lot of layers.
I love that at a point in Henry's life, he was just like a troubled kid with one mom that he didn't like. And now he's a boy who is loved, not as troubled. And now he has three moms.
Just moms on moms.
Got but moms one of them, everywhere.
One of them is now in the Wish Realm, gets a drink with Robin, and they have their happy ending. And Robin, like this, I also love this, that Robin has the full memories of being in Storybrooke and coming back. And he's just immediately at the tavern having drinks and back in his old grind. Because this was a man who just wanted to do that.
Listen, he's a simple man. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, a lot of stuff has happened to this version of Robin. He's done living. He's fine. He just wants to chill, be with people, maybe tell some really drunk people about some of the stuff that he saw. Because could you imagine being absolutely sloshed and for the a breathtaking man in a half-button shirt to be like, hey, let me tell you about indoor plumbing. What the hell are you talking about? That sounds amazing.
And you left that? Well, yeah, because I got hay.
Yeah, I got on hay dirt. On dirt. I got hay on dirt. Oh my God, you have everything, man. Your life, you got it figured out, man. The Wish Realm Ladies Who Tavern are so confused by this whole interaction.
Extremely. What? You had lighting in your bathroom for your makeup?
Although, thinking about it,
you had skincare routines?
The Wish Realm Ladies Who Tavern probably have a slightly different, like, lore. There's gotta be, like, they're just full, like, I don't even know. I don't even know what a different lore would be, but they probably would. But they'd probably still be very curious and nosy. Yeah, so they go off and I presumably live happily ever after.
Until Henry finds her.
Until finds her. And then they get to go on adventures. Yay.
Speaking of going on an adventure, who else is going on one this episode?
No one. Nothing else happened. The end. Hey, Bess, see you next week. Hook is just grappling. Again, with information he learned 5 minutes ago. Something he did a while ago has come back to haunt him. So he makes the decision to remove the memory from his brain with the
dream catcher.
And as he's doing it, Emma walks in. Obviously she does. And she's like, wait a minute. I absolutely clocked every bit of this. I love that Emma has trust issues so deep. There's no way Hook could be like on his phone. And for her not to just be, like, sitting next to him, like, looking at it. Like, I don't even think she'd mean to. I think she'd just be, like, fully watching him text.
How did she know that that was David's dad?
I have absolutely no idea. I also was curious about that. Because she... Again, this conversation they have, I actually kind of like it. I kind of like how this goes down.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's also missing a lot of, like, actual human elements about it. Like, her being like, hey, what are you watching? Like, what is this? Why are you trying to, what's going on? And for Hook to have to explain it, because she's just like, hey, did you murder my granddad? I'm sorry. What she says, and this is wild, is, hey, that looked like David's father. You mean your dad? You first naming? We first naming dad? Wasn't she calling him dad at a certain point?
She was.
Now it's David's dad? Not my that looks like my grandfather? That looks like my dad's father? That looks like David's dad. This scathing, awful. David's doing bad things. And he's like, yeah, listen, I'm sorry. And never actually says, yeah, I did it in a time I didn't know. I just found out. What he does instead is say, I'm a monster. I'm so terrible. This is awful. I can't believe it. I can no longer break bread with these people. Like, this is awful. And she rightfully gets very upset and is saying, I'm mad. And he goes, I know. It's why I'm trying to get rid of this. And she's like, I'm not mad about that. I'll be mad about that later. I'm mad that you're doing this without consulting me, your bride, your soon-to-be, because I thought I was marrying somebody who would talk to me, and it's clear that you are not ready for this level of commitment. And gives him back the ring. She's mad. She's like, when you figure out what you want, you can come back to me, which is fair. I think this is fair. This is a fair argument. She was literally lying 2 days ago and hiding things 2 days ago. And then she's talking about not being ready for commitment, and she's jumping immediately to, I no longer want to be engaged. Like, she panics immediately. I'm not saying she's wrong, but she's definitely doing the old Emma self-fulfilling prophecy situation where she's just mad. She's been betrayed. She's like, I knew it. This is why I can't trust anyone. And so then she leaves and then Hook is sad boy for the rest of the episode.
I can understand what you're saying, but I don't know if that's what the show, if the show knows that that's what it is. The way that it was worded to me, it felt like a little bit of a heel turn for Emma. Like she went from like that she was the moral high ground, but they weren't really acknowledging all the mishaps before. I really liked the scene, but I actually didn't feel like it was calling back on her past. I felt like it was kind of in spite of her past.
I'm not saying it was calling back on her past. That's me putting in my own spin.
That's Abby Spackle.
That's me saying that what's actually happening in front of me. I apologize. What's actually happening is just Emma being a hypocrite.
Yeah. And,
but in that moment, like if we isolated that moment, if we distilled it down to that simple moment, all of this makes perfect sense. But if we put in the stuff from the last couple of episodes, the rest of the last season, the way they've interacted the whole time, how could you have hidden this from me? How dare you? Girl, he was fully dead. And you turned him into the Dark One and all this other stuff. Like, you've done some pretty egregious things. Not that that absolves him from this. But at no point did he get the chance to explain really to her, hey, this happened so long ago. I just found out I did it. This sucks. Like, I'm sorry. But like, I don't know. Again, it sucks that he did it. But he was a villain. These are things that we knew. It's not like we thought he wasn't a villain. And then we just found out that he murdered somebody. So
it also, anyway. It also kind of feels a little hypocritical that this is the one that would, like, I get that it's close to home, it's a family member and stuff, but imagine if Hook had just been looking at some random guy that he had killed and Emma didn't clock it as David's dad. Would she have cared as much? Because that person was still a person. Like, Hook killed a lot of people as a villain, and it feels a little bit hypocritical to make it such a huge deal just because one of them had ties to somebody on the show, but Hook didn't know that at the time, didn't even know who it was.
Yeah, I mean, because the most damning thing that he did was it was just a guy. I mean, they were, again, I'm in no way absolving this. Like, I'm just, The idea was he was a villain. He was coming up on a carriage. He was robbing them, and he didn't want to leave anybody alive. That was what he was doing. As a villain, that was his MO. Fine. He shouldn't have been on land anyway. He should have been on a boat. Like, this whole thing doesn't make any sense in the first place, so whatever. But, like, that needs to be part of the redemption. And it, anyway, getting so far in the weeds on this one, but, like, she's just like, yeah, get out of here. Get out of here until you figure it out. So he's like, okay, I will. So he goes and finds Captain Nemo. And he's like, hey, mate.
Well, first he talks to Snow.
I think doesn't he talk to Captain Nemo first, then he talks to Snow, then he goes back to Captain Nemo?
Yeah, there's a lot of talking on the pier. He does a lot of pier talking.
I'm sorry, because he talked to Captain Nemo before he did the other thing. Because he was just like, hey, man, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, you should tell her and be very straightforward. And he's like, I did neither of those things and made it way worse. And he's like, can I go on your boat? And he's like, absolutely. You can absolutely come in my submarine. You're always welcome here. And so he goes to get, like, his toothbrush, I guess. And then it starts to snow. And he goes out and Snow White, Mary Margaret, comes running out. And she's like, oh, my God. God, you're my son-in-law. We have so much to plan. The birds want to know what your measurement is for your tux. They've already picked out your colors. I am so sorry. It is red and green. It'll be happening around Christmas time. I don't know what to tell you. It's just how it worked out. So I'm on your side. I'm so happy. You're so great. Everything about you is wonderful. You guys can do anything. I believe that anyone can be redeemed because guess what? The evil queen is gone and Regina sent her away and no one believed her except for me because I'm a hero. And anyone can be redeemed for their terrible actions no matter if they killed my husband's grandfather or not. She didn't say that part, but that basically got there.
Yeah.
And then she like runs away and Hook's like, that's right. I can marry Emma. I'm ready for this. I need to go fully onto this submarine and let Captain Nemo know that I'm actually not coming. Which, again, I'm making fun of it. It's fine. This is where he was. So he's like, hey, man, listen, thank you. But it's actually weird that we're both captains. Like, this will not work on a power shift level in any way, shape, or form. So we can't do this. But hey,
he's like, he's like, there would 100% be a mutiny at some point, and I would run it.
And I'm so sorry. I'm just telling you about who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't stop it. It's just in my code. Like, I'm so sorry.
The pirate's code.
It's the pirate's code. It's the law of the blade. It's just what it is. I'm so sorry. I'm sure you understand. Listen, thank you so much for all your wonderful advice that I definitely ignored. And thank you for your hospitality. I am not going to need it because I am going to go leave and propose to my girlfriend again. And we're going to get married and I'm not going to tell her any more secrets or I'm not going to keep any more secrets. Why are we going down in this ship? Why is it descending? And then a young man in spirit Halloween cloak appears and he's like, you cannot be above ground for what's about to happen next. And then disappears. So now Captain Nemo and Captain Hook are rapidly descending into the ocean at shore. How are they diving? Is the side of Storybrooke just a cliff?
I see it like it's the Thousand Leagues Under the Sea, aka Finding Nemo ride at Disney, where it's like it goes down, but it's always just on the surface.
We're going to make believe. We're going down, but actually we can't get too far because the snorkel that provides us air can't go under the water.
Exactly.
He's like, oh no, we're going down. We're going down, down. Sorry. And so they're like, no. And then Gideon appears out of the dock and he's just like in the snow as well. And he's like, haha, it's all coming together. Meanwhile, Miss Emma in her perfect, stupid hair. I was so mad at her hair. I was so mad at her hair about how perfect it was. Because she has a hat on, and then she took the hat off, and then her hair is all perfectly pinned. And, like, yeah, there's flyaways because she was wearing a hat, but, like, it's fine. This does not happen to me. I pull a hat off, everything's ruined. Everything. Braids, ponytails, buns, anything. Just gone.
Emma was styled on point this episode.
Yeah.
Like her coat, her shirts, like... It was definitely the softer side of Emma in this episode. They're breaking down her walls with her wardrobe, and I definitely appreciate it.
And then we got Emma's really emo moment of just pressed against the door. He's not coming home. I will turn the front light off because it's over. He's not coming back.
And she exits the widow walk and heads back in the house.
Just wailing.
And that is where we end things on season 6, episode 14. Lana Perilla's favorite episode, page 23. And yeah, I mean, this one was fine. It was fine. Like, in comparison, a better episode than what we'd been getting recently. And you see that also in the reactions from the audience. I read the Reddit conversation following this episode.
It's fun, isn't it?
It's a lot of people being like, it's a return to form. We're getting back into it. And then they have all these theories. And I'm just like, oh, you sweet summer children.
We were them.
No.
We were them, Beth.
We were them. We were them, but we tried so hard.
We were just holding on, just grasping at straws. Like, yeah, you're right. This episode, as mid as it was, which it was fine in the fact that, like, yeah, we're bagging a little, but we're bagging on little things. We're bagging on the story that was already set up. The way that it was executed was fine. I was fine with what was going on. The exit of two characters. We've got the exit of Wishrom Robin and mm-hmm. the Serum Queen. And I guess we're downshifting fully into Gideon Hostile Takeover.
Gideon Hostile Takeover and Black Fairy is coming into play, because I'm pretty sure, like, the screenshot of, like, two episodes from now is centered on the Black Fairy. So she's coming into town. I know Tiger Lily's coming in. Lost Boys are coming back. We're going on an adventure. We'll see what happens, I guess.
There's not really a good way to bring this up, but I did want to make sure we mentioned it. I should have brought it up before I said anything. We have tragically lost the actor who played Smee.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to find his name, and I apologize for not having it. Well, about said William Smee out loud like it was his full name. Chris Guthier. We're going to go with Chris Guthier. Young, like, I think he was like 49. So I wanted to mention it because we are talking about the episode, and that is very sad. I saw it all over the news. Someone posted it on the Facebook group. So did see it, and very unfortunate. Killian. Colin O'Donoghue actually posted, he was the first thing that I saw. He posted it on mm-hmm. his Instagram. It's a very nice photo, very nice memories. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that got mentioned. So
yeah, he was a great part of the show, and I loved his dynamic with Colin O'Donoghue. I thought they had a great rapport together, and, you know, it's sad to see him go.
Sad to see him go, but he will live forever in our hearts as one of my favorite versions of Smee, because every time I put on a red cap, I feel like Smee. Yes, I am Smee.
It is me now.
It is me.
Well, everyone, we want to thank you for joining us for this latest episode of Once Upon a Timing. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to those podcasts. You can join our Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/group/OUA Timing. And you can support us on Patreon. We want to thank our patrons for your continued love and support. This week's Patreon shout out goes to Pungus Magnuson. Thank you so much. And if you want to become one of our beautiful family, just go to patreon.com/OUA Timing. We're going to be back next week with season 6, episode 15, A Wondrous Place. We're going on a side quest, y'all. Hook's going on a field trip.
Why did I think we were, like, two episodes away from the finale? What's happening? Like, we've been in this season for our entire lives.
Well, because this was the first season in a while where it went, they got rid of the split season storyline, where it's more fluid throughout. So it kind of ends up feeling longer.
It just feels very long. It does not feel like feels like we're in towards the end of it. Wow, that's wild. Okay, cool. Yay.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And Abby, we will see you next week.
See you next week.